Welcome to Cabronas y Chiconas, a queer podcast where we talk about queer stuff here.
Latinx.
Latinx, queer, entertainment, such as?
James Buchanan was gay.
I believe it.
Yeah. He had a guy that he lived with, and he was a bachelor his whole life, so he was gay. We had a gay president, icon, legend, queen.
Yes, that, and then there was talks about Kennedy had affairs with guys.
Out of 45 presidents, there were more than just one that was gay.
Oh, of course.
They need to quit fronting.
So all the presidents straight. I mean, all our presidents until like 2008 were white, so.
They're not all straight.
They can't be.
Thank you, James Buchanan. Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas.
It's lit, fam.
Miss Fancy.
Hey, what's up, Nancy? What's popping?
What's popping? I mean, I don't know what came over me during that intro. Like, I became like a different person.
Yeah, my voice dropped like 8 octaves.
And it was balls okay. Dropped?
Also that, apparently. Because, you know, it's part of puberty. My voice just dropped really low.
So, should we give a little history on this little Miss Fancy and Nancy thing?
So, fun fact, well, fun rumor. Andrew Jackson had a little nickname for Buchanan and his alleged partner, friend.
For 10 years. Live-in
boyfriend for 10 years. He called them Miss Fancy and Miss Nancy.
Jeez.
I love that.
It's fucked, but also shout out to Nancy Podcast, which is gay as fuck.
Yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to Miss Nancy and shout out to Miss Fancy. They was out here.
Anything for the, what is it? What is the fucking saying?
What?
Nothing
but the best for my president. Nothing but respect for my president.
Yeah, nothing for respect for my president, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So, Even though, honestly, like, all white people before, like, 1950
fuck
were, like, racist.
Fuck all presidents. Fuck the way this country is being ran. Anyways, fuck binaries and fuck borders, guys.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Anywho, we just spent an hour looking at memes.
I mean, honestly, it was an hour well spent.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good break from the last episode that we recorded. I hope you guys liked us talking about the miseducation of Cameron Post and But I'm a Cheerleader.
Yes. Go watch it. If you haven't watched it, go fix your life. Go make it better.
All that shit. So why are we talking about James Buchanan?
Buchanas. We're talking about Buchanas because today we're going to be covering horror?
Science? No, we're covering The Purge.
Yeah, but that's just like
series.
Horror, isn't it? Like, because they're fighting each other in this gore and
technically,
shit.
Technically, it's in the horror genre.
Yeah, like, it's like people, like, fucking fighting each other for
this,
no reason.
But it's kind of perfect, because I like horror, and you like politics.
It worked out for both of us.
It was great.
And, like, the basis of all that movies is just about the proletarian rising up and killing all the fucking rich people who, like, you know, rule us.
And also, there's killing.
What?
Yeah. It's my favorite part.
Murder.
So The Purge is, like, for the two of you that don't know, The Purge is, like, the series so far. There's 4 movies. The first one was just The Purge in 2013. The second one was in 2014 called Purge Anarchy.
Lit as fuck.
Which I have some comments about. And then the third one was The Purge Election Year, which came out in 2016. The latest one, which I think is still in theaters, but by the time when this comes out won't be, is The First Purge.
Yes, that recently came out.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was over the summer. And it didn't get a lot of buzz, but I actually really liked it.
I fuck with it a lot.
More than a lot of people out there, because people were really pissed at that movie. Or, like, it didn't get a lot of press, but they were pissed.
Oh, I love, you know, any movie that pisses off, like, racist, bigoted people is, like, one of my favorite movies automatically.
Yes. So, this is not a spoiler at all, but the basic concept of this series is that it's, like, a dystopic sort of future, and sometimes not so far in the future, kind of life that they have, where every single year, there's a 12-hour period in which all crime is legal.
Yeah, murder.
Yeah, what's crazy, like, and people make jokes about this all the time, is that all crime is legal. Not just killing, but killing is the only one.
You can steal shit, guys.
And they do some of that. They do some of that. But, like, killing is what they focus on. Like, oh, every year you can kill somebody. Like,
when really, you can just steal, you can rob banks. Like, I mean, if it was a purge happening, I'd just take a baseball bat to the bank and be like, all right, let's just rob everything.
Well, though I will say, you know, like, it's made very clear from that first movie that the richer you are, the more safe you are.
Yeah.
But nobody's completely safe from...
No.
From everything, you know?
Well, they made a point in the last movie that, like, government officials were the one, only ones protected.
Let's start with number one.
Okay.
Because, like, number one is probably the least favorite of mine and probably the least favorite overall.
Okay.
I would say... Because it's more of like a home invasion movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what like the very first one was. It was just centered about one family who were not involved with the purge, and they somehow like got involved with the purge, and then like it opens their eyes. You know what I mean? Like, so it starts off very small. Like, the world is not very big yet. There's a concept. There's not a lot of details floating around. They do have Lena Headey in it, which is great.
Oh, that's right. She was in the first one.
Yeah, and I love her. You might know her as Cersei, the evil queen from Game of Thrones.
Or as the other lead in Imagine Me and You.
Yes!
Who, you know. So, actually, it's an okay movie.
I love that movie.
It's an okay movie, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Oh, now it's okay?
Yeah, I believe in love. Love is real. 2K18.
God. 2K18. But yeah, so the first Purge, like, it's this family, honestly, I think they're... To me, what they represented was like the Republican mindset. And I saw a tweet recently. I'm on Twitter too much, but I saw a tweet recently. I think it was from India Moore. And they're
yes.
Where she says something like what it's such a privilege for something to be just politics to you. And like, that's kind of what this movie represents to me, because the purge to them was just like this thing that they were safe from, that they didn't touch, but because they were wealthy, they didn't have to think about it. Like, it was just politics to them, you know?
Oh,
what I mean?
Yeah, she did tweet that. And that, what, girl?
Yeah, so that's kind of what they are. I mean, like, the mindset of, like, those who purge, like, it's fucked up, right? In that movie, the daughter's boyfriend, he's low-key a pedo, because this dude is, like, he's over 18, and she's a teenager. And the dad is like, you guys can't be together. So he decides, oh, like, there's the purge. Like, let me just kill your dad.
What?
Exactly. So.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, like, it, you know, no matter what, they can't escape it. That's like one of the small little breaches that happens in the purge. What did you think of this first one in the series?
It wasn't my favorite either, just because like I'm more into the political, and again, like, home invasion movies just make me feel really, really scared for my life. But then it's always just like white people, and it's just like, duh. I tune it out. I don't like home invasion movies at all, or like horror. This is not my favorite genre at all. That's why I like lean towards the other ones completely, because they were actually political and they were saying a lot versus, okay, I get it, you know, Republican mindset, small family. It didn't really do it for me.
Yeah, definitely.
But like, what did you find anything in it that you liked?
Like, horror is my shit, right? Like, mm-hmm. And I like the concept. Like, mm-hmm. I like the concept of like whatever, like a like anything dystopian. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like, this is a study or whatever the fuck. So I actually liked it, especially back then. Like, now that I watch it back, I'm like, this is not as good. It's definitely not as good as its sequels.
No,
but I liked it back then for sure. And then at the end, with like, I'm gonna try to keep this non-spoilery, but like, they basically are like, you know, they find their humanity or whatever the fuck, but like, at what cost? And like, but what I thought was kind of ironic for the first film is that it was very much like a white on white violence. You know what I mean? It was just,
yeah,
like,
that's the good part.
Yeah, and like, it kind of, the one thing that it does do is that there's a guest character, kind of like probably the least known character in that first movie, ends up being a recurring character in the next movie and the one after that. I don't know if you remember that character.
Mm. Wait, which character?
So one of the things that kind of triggers, because they have like this huge like security setup for their home. And when the younger kid opens it up to let in this random guy who's running away from from murderers because it's the Purge.
Yeah, of course.
And he's this black guy who comes into a white Republican upper class family's home, and you know what I mean? And for once, he's the victim, right? Like, he's not in there invading them. Like, he's the victim. And he ends up, like, getting help from this little boy or whatever. And they're trying to, like, kill him. They're trying to get him out of there. Like, they're doing all this shit. And at the end of it, they're like, wow, what is wrong with us? Why aren't we helping this guy? Like, we've really lost our humanity or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of the movie. Like, oh, white guilt.
Yeah. You said white guilt.
That's it. But basically, at the end of this movie, I was like, dude, like, this world, like, this concept that I was so into, I was into it because there was so much potential in it.
I was
like, you could have made this about, like, how not only, like, the rich, but you could have made it about people of color and how they end up dealing with it. And I had all these thoughts. I remember thinking about it, like, oh, you could go this way with it, you could go that way with it. And it turned out that basically that home invasion story was kind of a Trojan horse. Because what it did was it brought in all these viewers, and then bam, the Purge anarchy happened.
Oh, yes.
People of color all over the place. Just Justina Machado is in the first scene.
What?
Yeah, Justina Machado is in the first scene.
Oh,
she's
my God,
like,
babe.
She
Love
works
her.
At the little
She's
diner.
Gorgeous.
She's awesome. So the next movie is exactly that. It's all about, like, the lower class and, like, how these white people have so much money that they literally have these crazy setups and events during the Purge and parties and all this shit, and how they go about to, like, surviving, and people with vendettas who actually, they walk the line of, like, is it okay for me to, like, kill somebody under this circumstance for this really bad person?
Mm-hmm.
So they did a lot in the second movie that I wanted to see from the first movie, so I was like, fuck.
It was finally, props. Like, the world expanding on itself, and every concept you wanted is, like,
yeah,
bitch,
and we're
exploring it.
And it's centered around more than just, like, the upper class.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, the whole thing was about, like, well, and then we'll get into it later, you know, about the proletarian kind of fights back, which is in Purge election year. It's just about how the proletarian was coming back and fighting against the system, and I thought this was, like, the first, like, Purge that I saw that I was, like, super interested in, because they were fighting back against all these concepts. And this was right before, like, Trump was even, like, a whisper, you know? This was, Obama was very much in president. We very much felt like we were on the verge of a change, but we didn't quite
know what kind of change.
So what did you think about that?
One of the things that I noticed, because in the first Purge, not the first Purge, but, like, the first movie, The Purge, It was like what you heard a lot, like happy purging or whatever the fuck saying that they were saying.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like celebratory towards the Purge, whereas in the second one, which is centering people of color, all you would hear was stay safe, like that was their thing, like,
yeah.
Stay safe, like that was their goodbye greeting, which is a complete 180 from the other movie.
Big
so
difference.
It's like, yeah, they have people of all freaking different bank backgrounds. So speaking of, like, Donald Trump, like, I swear to God, like, fucking conspiracy theory here. They fucking straight up either, like, they had an in, like, they knew this shit was going to happen or something. Because there was a politician in the second movie, in Anarchy, which came out in 2014,
mm-hmm.
like, a year before the dude even had that thought in his mind,
yeah.
as I assume. But this dude, who was a part of the new founding fathers, his name was Donald.
So it's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
Play the
listen to the Hollywood
X-Files music.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but anyways, I don't know if you remember, but they have, like, this basic ass, like, this, I'm telling you, they have to Trojan horse the shit out of everybody, because they have this basic ass, like, straight white couple in it for no reason. They have really no use, like, they get kind of trapped or whatever. It's kind of the same thing as the first movie, where, like, they weren't supposed to be a part of it or whatever, like, they weren't supposed to be victims, but
innocent,
they accidentally
white people
were
victims,
basically. So they were thrown in there. They didn't have a real use. I'm not gonna lie, I can't even explain away their presence there. But this is where you start to see, like, the anarchy, like, the revolution, the people that are fighting back. And it's like in the form of YouTube, funnily enough, like, there's a dude like dressed up in a very, like, Malcolm X type of fashion, and he's like preaching to people on YouTube, talking about, like, how the new founding fathers was, like, a fucking conspiracy, and, like, that all the Purge only happened because they rigged it that way. And we find out later that that's not really far off at all.
Nope,
it wasn't. And not too far from our own fucking reality at this point. The reason that it gets, another reason that it gets like a lot more political in this particular film is because they have a, we find out that there's a rule that certain politicians aren't, they're immune to the purge. So you can't kill politicians. You're not, it's not legal to do that, which is bullshit. Obviously, like that's another reason that you're easily see like it was obviously rigged.
Oh, fucking obviously.
Yeah. And then if you want to move into the election year where the rules change up a little bit, if you remember.
Yeah, so election year followed. It came out in 2016. It was the same year we had an election. The thing about, like, these movies is that I feel like they're very... I don't think at this point we can say that they're, like, science fiction or they're horror, because I think at this point they're a direct reflection of, like, the worst part of our society currently. Like, I don't think... you know what's it's interesting is that maybe I can make this comparison. Maybe this is, like, a really big fucking leap, and I just come with me, okay? Just come with me. So, like, what 1984 was to people back in the day is what the Purge is to us. It's, like, this dystopian fable telling us this is most likely, like, our reality in the next 100, 200 years if this keeps up. Like, I don't think any of this is beyond, like, the realm of happening in our lifetime. Yeah. Like, I honestly think this could happen in our lifetime, the way we're so divided at this point. Election year is talking about that division between the politicians, supposedly, and us regular folk. So what happens is this year during the Purge, is they magically make it legal for politicians to be killed because it's election year, and the founding fathers want to kill off the one woman who's trying to stop the Purge.
The Hillary.
She's the Hillary, and she's a woman, but she's not as problematic. I don't even know her, you know, political stance.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't get enough information on her to know whether she's political stance.
You know, all we know is that maybe she's probably a socialist since she wants to stop this. What I find interesting about this movie is that it's not just like a depiction of like class, it's also a depiction of like capitalism, because a funny and interesting thing that they put in this movie is they have like purge insurance, and I'm like, wait a minute,
yeah.
Yo, capitalism is taking this shit way too far, you know, like the fact that you can have purge insurance.
I mean, it was all about money.
It's everything all about money. Everything's about money and power, but especially this one where I was like, wow. So all businesses, all society has like co-opted this idea of the Purge and thought it's totally okay. We'll make insurance in case you die or your store burns down. So this story revolves around a guy protecting his shop and psychopaths trying to fucking kill him because he didn't let some like dumb bitch have a candy bar.
God, that was... That was a little out there. Like, I feel like everything else was definitely referencing something in this movie. Like, everything, like, had a place there and had a comment on our society. But that girl with the candy
teenagers,
bar.
Honestly, I think they were just trying to say teenagers are scary, which they are because they're fucking crazy. Because, like, you know, you're not, you know, that part in your brain isn't developed yet. So you're still, your judgment is, like, way skewed. And you could be a psychopath at any age, right? And if you're skewed, you're skewed. And then that you know, that logic part of your brain isn't built in, you do some stupid shit. But let's give the Purge credit for having iconic-ass fucking fits. Okay, so these bitches are wearing tutus. They wrap, like, lights around their cars so that you can see these bitches coming from a mile away. Like, these bitches are luminescent, okay? And they're iconic. They have, like, these beautiful, thotty outfits on. And you know what? I give them credit for having the best fucking looks. L-E-W-K. L-E-W fucking K out here. They had looks, boo. And so they had these bats.
They were working, hunty.
They were working, hunty. And and that was... Shout out to this movie for having really interesting, like, masks. And, like, it's not as interesting as the very first Purge, which we'll get into. But this movie was important because it's kind of saying that, like, the new founding fathers would go to any means to kill off political opponents, to kill regular people. It's, like, capitalism is no hold bars. They'll kill everybody. Capitalism, again... reinforce kills everyone. Doesn't matter what stage you're at, boo, it kills you if you're not at that 1%. And that's what this movie is saying. And I love this movie because it doesn't just get into the politics of it. It gets into the mixture of all systems of oppression and control, like religion. Like, this had a really, really strong fucking religious element. Like, it was, they were killing people in a fucking church, and it just reminded me of, like, back in the day what the Catholic Church used to do.
The election?
Yeah, in election year. They were in the church sacrificing people, and it felt very, what's that?
the like martyrs?
The conquista?
Oh, the...
Yeah, when the Spanish went anywhere into the New World to conquer, they also took any of the heretics in and killed them all, and it was, you know, the church is doing, and it felt very, like, history is just going to repeat itself. So, again, I reiterate that, like, to me, the Purge is not, like, some kind of concept. It is, like, the reality that could be happening to, like, our kids or our great-great-great-grandkids in, like, 200 years if we keep being assholes.
Yeah. What did you think of, like, the globalization aspect of it? Because they had killer tourists.
That was...
Wasn't that... Like, God. The U.S.'s influence on these other countries, like, I'm so... Like, they really went into the politics. Like, they fucking jumped out in this fucking movie because literally you had fucking tourists who were like, yes, we want to do the American experience or whatever the fuck. And they're out here, like, killing people and shit. Like,
and that globalization is
ridiculous.
And that globalized violence, the globalized image of American violence is so real even to this day. Like, if you meet someone who was an American, they're like, oh, y'all guys just kill each other for no reason. Like, gun violence and the way guns are in the United States is just, to other countries, is like, it blows their mind, and they come here to fucking do it, because they know that's what our country's about. And so I agree with you, that globalized concept of violence that is associated with Americans is so fucking true. So.
Yeah, oh, you know what, I just fucking, yeah, what? I just had the fucking flashback. It totally is. The opponent, the Hillary-type girl's opponent, is a total fucking, like, religious nut or whatever.
Oh, he's absolutely fucking crazy. Like, like, they really, really believe killing people is part of their duty as, like, rich white Americans. And it's like, guys, if you look at this movie like in every other movie, it's always rich bigots, rich white bigots, and they're in all forms of, like, systematic oppression, like religion, the state. They're doing whatever it is to hurt people of color or people that completely oppose them. But you can tell this was written by, like, white people because of the white feminism they had, you know? So that's just one thing they had going on that I wasn't too fond of. But, like, what did you think of the movie? Did you, anything stand out to you other than, like, the horror porn of the globalized violence? What else stood out to you?
I mean, this one, it was a good one. I gotta say, I probably liked Anarchy a little bit more.
Yeah, it was a little bit better.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, the religious aspect, now that I think of it, it kind of felt like a total afterthought. Like, oh, let's just fucking throw this shit in there kind of at the end. Like, that was just, that I was like, this is pretty weakly done. But everything else, like, made a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, everything else is pretty good. And then, I guess, we're leading into the most recent one, the very first Purge.
The first Purge. Oh, my honestly, God. It answered a lot of questions. There's still some things that are not answered. But I feel like with every movie, they've been answering more and more questions that are potential flaws in this dystopian story. Oh, yeah. But they're like, how, you know, everybody was thinking it. Everybody was thinking, like, how did we get to that? How did they possibly get to the point where they're okay with the Purge? And the answer is as simple as they weren't. They weren't okay with it.
No, and a white woman started it.
Yeah, accidentally.
I don't think it was accidentally. Like, she, the whole concept of it is completely stupid and fucked. So, yeah. And a white woman came up with it. And I was like, oh, what a concept. Like, yeah, of course a white woman came up with it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, but to add into that, I will say, like, she came up with it as a concept, as, like, a really shitty experiment, but once she saw, like, the people don't want this, she was like, okay, people don't want this, fuck it, that's fine. But the government was like, no, I want this.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to use it to kill off, they said that it was overpopulation or some bullshit. You know, whatever reason politicians get together and want to hurt people of color who are poor. They say overpopulation, we don't want them to be on welfare, we don't want to have to pay for them and all this bullshit. That's super today, and kind of, I don't know, it's kind of feels like a caricature of everything happening, so it kind of sucks.
It's super close to home, because, I mean, yeah, we kind of are facing a thing where, especially with this wealth gap.
The wealth gap is so fucking real.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember, but in the first in the first movie, The Purge, they say, like, oh, you don't remember what it was like back then. Like, oh, back then it was so horrible. There was so much poverty, blah, 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 blah. They would say all this shit, and then you see the first Purge where it just looks like today. It looks just looks like right now.
It's supposed to be today. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be 2018. Mm-hmm. But another interesting thing I found that during the very first Purge, there was actually a super low thing of violence. Like, there wasn't violence. There was, like, one homicidal maniac, and everyone else was like partying, because that's what people of color do. If shit gets rough, we get together and party. Like, we're like, fuck it, like, let's just make it a thing, let's have a purge party. And that's where it first came from, because people at first were just enjoying themselves, and there was only like one psychopath running around trying to kill folks. Right. And that's when the politicians were like, wait a minute, poor people of color aren't killing each other? They should be fucking killing each other, like destroying each other.
They're out here partying. That's what we would really do. We would really do.
It's like, we're going to get this 5K, because the way they lured people in is by giving them 5K each. And so they were like, fuck it, I'll stay in my house, I can't afford to leave. Give me $5,000 and I'll do it.
Yeah, dude, what really got me was when the military came in.
Not just the military, dude. And did you see that, like, the people who were coming in, the people who were ashamed of doing all their crime, were only people that were only white people, and they all wore masks? Did you notice that? The people who actually lived there and were from there, none of them wore a motherfucking mask. Everyone else that went there by choice who was white had a mask on because they were ashamed what the fuck they were doing.
Which, speaking of masks, did you notice in, like, the second and third film, more so, I can't remember which one of the two, their masks, and, like, honestly, especially in election year, it wasn't even really a hidden thing. Like, the people that were out there killing, trying to kill the Hillary-type lady, were straight-up racist. They're white nationalists.
Oh, yeah. I saw all their patches, dude. In the very first, and the most recent movie as well, they were also white nationalists. They had, like, in the later movies, in the third one, I think they had, like, an updated version of the swastika.
Yeah, and they fucking wore the fucking shitty-ass, like, blackface masks.
Oh, my God. What a fucking thing they were doing. They had blackface masks while they were fucking killing people. And that was in the most recent, the first
Purge movie. They also had it in the election.
When they were going through the apartment blocks.
They did that on that one, too. That one, I remember it just being mostly military. But, yeah, it's like, they had, like, you know, they had the, I'm like, I don't know if this is a lot of courage, but they put that into the movies. They were like, yes, like, these shitty people, you can't separate them from the racist out there. Like, that they have to be racist, honestly, to be doing these horrid things.
Yeah, and not just that, like, the way that all of these movies looked and what they're saying about class and race, like, and it's explicit. Like, there are people with guns killing people who are wearing blackface mask. Like, you can't escape that. It's so fucking blunt and in your face. And that's why this last movie pissed the fuck off of white people, because it was a black man who was a drug dealer who actually had morals and, like,
more heart than all these fucking government assholes.
And it just reminds me again that white people don't see other people's humanities, period. They refuse to accept that a drug dealer could also be a hero. And that's what I find so pissed off. Like, in those all those reviews, they were like, I can't believe a gang member is the one that's the hero in this movie and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, of course he is. Because, like, just because you're a drug dealer doesn't mean you've lost your humanity. It means you're trying to make it. Like, I guess people of color see it differently, or people that are poor see it differently, but that's what all the reviews were saying. They were like, a gangbanger. And I was like, who still says gangbanger in 2018?
Yeah, like, seriously.
Some suburban mom from, like, God knows where.
The younger, because the main character is technically this girl and her younger brother. And the younger brother, I think, in him, because he's a teenager, and, like, the effect on teenagers in this world has been really interesting, as we saw with the psychopath from before. But that younger kid, you see his dilemma. You see why he goes out and does the things that he does. You know, like, he even at such a young age, like, money makes him desperate, makes him do things that he's a good kid. Like, he wouldn't have done that shit, but, like, money is everything sometimes in this world, and they use that to get to them. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I do, because they're really talking about, you know, how black men are kind of, like, forced into these situations. It's not really like a...
It's not even a choice at that point.
It's not a choice.
It's fucked.
And I think whoever is making these movies is incredibly smart, incredibly talented, and I don't know. Like, I honestly think all of these stories are just like modern fables for us, and the fact that this doesn't bother more people is what's interesting. You know, like
that there's not more like of a fucking like there's not as much attention on these movies. Like, yeah, like at some parts of it, like it's just a fucking horror film. But other parts of it, like, it's saying a lot. I feel like at some point, these movies are going to be, like, a serious-ass case study.
They're going to be super case studies for, like, where we are in time and place and our psychology right now. So I think it's very interesting. I think they're all amazing. But Anarchy and I think the very newest one, The First Purge, are my favorite.
I don't know if you remember, but we talked when we did our horror episode, like, last year, I kind of talked a little bit on this about how horror film reflects our society a lot of times. Usually it's staggered, though. Like, we make these movies and we don't see what is plaguing us and why we're making these movies and why we're funding these movies until, like, maybe a decade later. Like, yeah. Found footage film was our anxiety about having the internet and new technology. And torture porn movies were about us having anxiety about going to war with Iraq and stuff like that. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah, so like horror film, that's what it kind of does. It reflects our society at certain points, and this has been the closest, you know what I mean, like in time lapse. Like, in fact, it fucking beat us to the fucking punch. Like, these movies came out before Donald Trump, you know. Like, it's just, I don't know, I think it's just, it's continuing my ongoing theory that horror reflects what we're going through. And right now we have hella anxiety about what our government is doing with us.
Oh yeah, and where we're headed and what all this division and hatred is going to do to us. So it's scary. It's interesting. Like, the real scary part about this is that it's real life and that it's happening currently.
And I think that's maybe also the reason that it's us that's talking about it and not anybody else.
Because
it's too scary. It's too close to home. It's too, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I think people are looking at it and they're disregarding it a lot. But I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah, because it's not the kind of horror movie they want. And it's like, yeah, why? Because they don't let you off the hook. They're not letting any white people off the hook.
No. Like, they're not letting anyone off the hook, period, in these movies, if I'm being honest. But I don't know. It's reflecting a lot more reality than I expected.
Yes, so, like, go watch one, watch all.
They're not readily available. They're not on Netflix. They're not on anything. Like, you have to really seek these out.
You have to maybe purchase a few or rent a few. Yeah, make it a night, though. Make it, like, a purge night where make sure...
A purge night within 12 hours. Jeez.
Where all movies... No, I'm not going to go there. Just watch the movies and, like, I don't know, like... I avoid talking about politics on the podcast just because I'm so overwhelmed and the news is horror porn. Twitter is low-key starting to become that, and I just want to go there for the memes and jokes and talk about my own personal anxiety, not the anxiety of my country, because I feel that everywhere I go. So watch these movies if you want, like, maybe not to be yelled at in a 27... tweet fucking Twitter thread about what you're not doing while they're just fucking tweeting about it. So I don't know. I still want to avoid talking about the politics of it, because if you watch it, it's fucking blatantly obvious. There is no need to discuss it. If you see these and you don't feel they need to get organized, you don't feel they need to go out and talk to people, then I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I don't know what the fuck you're on.
I'm curious, how do you feel about them in election year specifically? Because there's this revolution, they are organized, and they have plans to kill somebody. I won't, like, spoil who, but they have plans to kill somebody, and this Hillary-like figure is telling them, like, no, that's the wrong way to go, and kind of shaming them for it.
White feminism.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, the thing is that, like, that part right there doesn't reflect our society. Because I think, like, right now, our people, like, we're out here speaking on it. We're, like, fighting with our words. We're fighting with our protests. You know what I mean? Like, we aren't the people to resort to killing a fucking presidential candidate. Like, it's not what we do. So them kind of throwing that in there, I think, bothered me just a little bit. And then throwing in a Hillary-like figure to be, like, the self-righteous one talking about you know, you shouldn't do that. I would never kill him. Even though he tried to kill me, I'm not going to try to kill him. That type of thing, you know what I mean? So that's the one thing where I was like, no, that's not my people.
That's not my people? You don't claim them? I mean, I'm not that, like, I'm like eye for an eye or violence. No, no. Violence is a cycle. Violence is a circle. It does not stop unless you break it. You know, like, it does, it just continue. It's continuous. It just continues going. You have to stop it. And violence only begets more violence. And that's another thing I did want to bring up with The Purge, because I wanted to bring up that, like, the best parts of this movie are saying that being nonviolent is actually the best way to go about the whole situation. The violence is just to survive. None of these people are going out and killing on purpose. They're actively being hunted. And there's a difference between being hunted and being, you know, resorting to the violence first. Like, it's, I just want to tell everyone, what if maybe it's too overwhelming because it's too much like our reality, I just want you to stop and think about, you know, the violence. And maybe this isn't for you, because it's not, because it is very violent and there are things in it that, like, it's hella triggering to watch. I'm not even gonna act like it's not. It's super fucking triggering to watch. I had to, like, watch it, stop, come back to it, because it made me think about my own reality living in the hood, you know, and that if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, something can happen to you, and it's just because you're there. So, and, you know, the idea that, you know, if we fight back with violence that it'll work, I don't want people to think that that's like an option either, you know? And I don't know the answer. If we all knew the answer, we wouldn't, you know, we would have fixed it by now, you know? But we don't know how to stop that, because all humans are violent, but you don't have to, you have to fight it. And I just, this movie is triggering, and I can't, there's parts of it that if you need to step away, you just step away.
Yeah, election year in particular gave me some fucking flashbacks, to put it lightly. It's a lot, but I still think that they're an important case studies. If you think you can get through it, then go see it. That's all I gotta say. What would you rate it?
I would rate it like 4 to 4.5 bundles, because there are the black leads, there are black people fighting back, and brown people fighting back, and people talking about very important things that get ignored by the average bear. You know, I want everyone to see it, but it's not for everyone. That violence is a lot, and it's very triggering. So if you need a happy movie, go watch, like, anything else.
Yeah. This is for you. For me, it's literally in order. It's like The Purge, like 3 cafecitos, and then
agreed.
The Purge Anarchy, 2 cafecitos, The Purge Election Year, 1 cafecito, and the First Purge doesn't need a cafecito, just in that order.
It's the last one is my most favorite one as well, because
it's pretty cool. It's just nice to see, like, black people kicking ass, just fucking doing that shit.
Yes,
like, they're just doing amazing.
Yeah, and I think
you're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing great. Exactly, and that's the best part about it. And, you know, I take a break. You know, I honestly had to. It was a lot.
For sure.
But yeah, it was really good.
Well, let's close out this episode. This is gonna come out probably a lot later. It was probably about a month or maybe a little less after we record it. So go rate and review us. We've been pretty sure we're still gonna want that.
Oh yeah, rate, review, subscribe. Anytime you guys review, let us know and DM us. We'll send a sticker to you, and we'll send you love.
And follow us on all the social medias for free. And it's at CYC Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and we also have a Patreon, not free, but a lot of extra content on there, CYC Podcast, and we upload every on the fourth week. The week that we don't post is the week that we post on Patreon.
Yeah, support some bitches, like, trying to make some content out here. Like, we don't use it for tacos, but I mean, we wish we could.
I wish.
We wish. We definitely use all of it. Goes back to the podcast, to our production,
100%
where we record, to everything. So just help some brown bitches trying to make some shit, and holler at us. But yeah, you can follow me at Fry Papita on Twitter. What about you?
MYT Panda on Instagram and on Twitter.
And yeah, so love y'all. Bye.
Bye.